Please rise for the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will
and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart.
Thank you.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the back of the bulletin. A couple of things I would like to highlight in there. One is that today, Sunday school classes are starting once again. And the children and the youth will be down in the basement. Also, Beverly Feller's class will be starting up today, the adult class, and they will be meeting over here in the annex. And then Bill Claverman's class is also listed in the bulletin as beginning today, but he will not be beginning today. So Bill Claverman's classes will not be happening today. But the rest of the Sunday school is going on. Also notice that on Wednesday of this week, there is a flu shot clinic here at the Fellowship Hall. And I think that's from 4 to 6 p.m. And there is more information about that in the bulletin announcements. Please come get your flu shot here. And then there's also some more announcements about Christian life activities. I think there's some new announcements in there today about some things that are coming up here in October, and then also some future events in November. Also, I would like to mention that we are decreasing the time of drive-up communion. We still will be out there after the worship service today, and we will continue to be out there until 10:20, at 10:20 then from this point on. Okay, are there other announcements? Any other announcements? Not then, we continue with the greeting and the Kyrie.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please rise.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Glory, glory, glory.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Our Lord Jesus, you have endured the doubts and foolish questions of every generation. Forgive us for trying to be judge over you, and grant us the confident faith to acknowledge you as Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson today is a reading from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleaned it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. It shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is taken from Psalm 80, and we will read it in unison. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the towering cedar trees by its boughs. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pluck off the grapes? The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grasped upon it. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted. Our second lesson is a reading from Philippians chapter 3. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will not be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruit of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of you know the story of the Beauty and the Beast. You or at least probably have seen the Disney version, and if you have kids, you've probably seen it a number of times. But as you know, in the story, there is a conceited and rude prince who has a spell cast upon him, a curse put upon him, and he is turned into a beast. And the only way to break that spell is to love someone else and have that person love him in return. Well, years were passing by, and that had never happened. And as time was coming to an end, the beast imprisons a beautiful young woman. And over the course of time, then, he falls in love with her. But, of course, the spell is not broken because she does not love him. She is a prisoner. She's a captive. Out of his love for her, he releases her. He lets her go. And later on, as she finally realizes that he really does love her, she, in turn, loves him. And at the end of the story, then, the spell is broken. Now, that's just a fairy tale, but usually in all good stories, there is a point to that. And the point in this one is that you need to let it go. If you let the things go that you cling so tightly to, a lot of times life actually gets better. You get more. If you let go, sometimes or a lot of times, the best blessings in life are those that you get after you have let go. St. Paul knew that lesson very well. In our second lesson for today, Paul
tells about himself, of who he is and the credentials that Paul carries. And they are substantive credentials that he has. He said he was born a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was circumcised on the eighth day. And that means that his family followed the Jewish laws. He was raised in the proper Jewish traditions. They followed all the rules and the regulations. They were upstanding family being raised in the Hebrew tradition. Not only that, Paul was able to rise within that tradition. He had good intellect. He was very capable, and he rose up to be one of the elite religious leaders. He became a Pharisee. And not only that, he was a respected Pharisee. As far as all the laws, codes, rules, and regulations, he says, he was blameless. He kept them all. He kept them all. And on top of that, he had a lot of zeal. He had a lot of spunk. He was dedicated, and he was going to make sure that that Hebrew religion, the Jewish religion, would stay pure, even to the point of going out and hunting down those other Jews who said that they were a part of the way of Jesus Christ. He had all the credentials, and on top of that, his family was possibly very wealthy, or not very, maybe not very wealthy, but they were wealthy. They had some means. They were not the common working class people who live from day to day, but they probably were property owners. So Paul had some wealth going for him. So he had all this going for him. He was a credentialed religious leader. He was a respected religious leader. He had the commitment to carry on. He was looked up to by many people. He was the up-and-coming new Pharisee because he was just a young man at this time. He had some wealth. And on top of all of that, he was also a Roman citizen. Now, to be a Roman citizen in that world meant basically that you had a free pass. When Rome would come in and conquer new territories, those people in those territories were not Roman citizens. They did not have all the rights and the privileges that Roman citizens did. To be a Roman citizen, you had to either be born in Rome, or you had to be of that ruling class, or that title could also be bestowed upon you by the government. Paul was considered a Roman, so that meant that he could travel anywhere in the Roman Empire without hassle, and that also meant that if he was ever stopped by authorities, either local authorities or the Roman authorities, a lot of times he would have no issues. Paul had all of that going for him. But listen to what he says in our second lesson for today. He says, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Paul was willing to give away all of his credentials, all of his prestige, all of his power, all of his wealth, give up his family, his home, in order to follow Christ. And he says, all those things of my past life are considered rubbish. Rubbish. We think of rubbish as being trash, or you think of a trash dump or trash heap. The word could even be stronger than that and mean the stuff that goes down the sewer. Paul was calling all of these things that the world sees as so important, and he calls them rubbish because he has found a greater prize. He was willing to give it up. He was willing to let it go in order to be a follower and worker in the kingdom of God. In our second lesson from last week, Paul also writes in Philippians that Christ emptied himself. He took on human form. He took on the form of a slave and he emptied himself. He humbled himself even to the point of death. Death on a cross. That's what Christ did for us. The Creator Almighty gave up his power. He gave up, he emptied himself and came to this earth. The Creator became a creature, took on human form and lived among us. Suffered the pains, the needs, the wants, the limitations that we also all go through. He took all that on, even to the point of death, willing to die for us. And because Christ gave it all up, he was raised to new life. But not only that, he also raises us up to new life as well then too. Sometimes we have to just let it go. There's so many things that we want to cling to, things in our lives that we say are so important to us, and that may be property, that may be wealth, that may be our homes, it may be our families. Or there's things, too, that we just can't seem to get rid of, such as a grudge or hatred or looking down upon other people. There's things that we just can't release. But if we learn to let those things go, to give them away, to let God take care of those things, give it back to God. Because all things belong to God anyway. They belong to Him. We need to give things back, to let it go, so that we too can experience that life with Christ, to be filled till our cups overflow with Jesus Christ. The Old Testament for today, and also the Gospel, spell out some consequences if we don't let things go. In the Old Testament, from Isaiah, it's a parable or a story about a vineyard, and God plants a vineyard, and it's a huge vineyard. It's going all the way from the sea to the river. Its tendrils stretch the whole length. God gave the Israelite people the promised land, and he created a vineyard out of it. He planted it. He got rid of all the enemies. He cleared it out and gave it to the people. And he expected good grapes, sweet grapes. But what he got instead were wild grapes, sour grapes. The people of Israel had turned away from God. They were unjust. They did not help the poor. As a matter of fact, they cheated the poor many times. They took advantage of other people. They turned away from God and worshiped false idols. They would not help those who were in need. They turned their backs on God. Sour grapes. And God says, because of that, this whole vineyard will be ripped apart. Wild animals will eat the grapes. The fields will be trampled down. And as you know, the history of Israel and Judah, invading armies did come in. And God did not protect them at that time. The invading armies came in. They burned the cities. They trampled the crops. The land was laid to waste. And the people were carted off as slaves. In our gospel lesson today, it's also a parable of a vineyard that a landowner comes in and he plants a vineyard. He plants the good vines. He makes sure there's fertile soil, that it's in an area that will grow grapes. Builds a fence around it, puts a watchtower up, digs a wine press, makes it perfect, makes a perfect vineyard, and then he leases it out to his tenants. But when harvest time comes, the landowner sends his servants to go collect his fair share, his rent, or his share of the produce, and they refuse, and not only refuse, they beat up and they kill the servants. That happens again. Same thing happens again. Finally, the landowner sends his son, his very own son, and they too kill. So Jesus asked the religious leaders, so what's that landowner going to do? And they say he's going to come back with vengeance, and he is going to strike down all those tenants, and he will find new tenants to put into that vineyard. For us, it's important that we let go. If you think about this parable a minute, that if those tenants would simply have let go of what actually belonged to the landowner, they still would have been able to keep possession of that vineyard. They would still have the fruits of that vineyard, but they would not let go of it. And as a result, it was their destruction. For us too, we are called to let go of those things that get in the way, that get in the way of our worship and of our praise and of our thanks and of our deeds for God. There's so many things that always pull us away, that call us distraction, or things that we just want to cling on to and hold on to. But we simply need to let go. The psalm for today is also another, uses another parable of a vineyard, but this time it is a call of repentance or a call of plea, that the people are pleading with God. The vineyard has been destroyed. They had turned their backs on God, that the vineyard was destroyed, and now they're asking, God, we know we have done wrong. They repent. God, how long will it be before you restore this vineyard to us? They finally realize that the only way that they can receive God's blessings is if they simply let go of all the other stuff that they have, if they get rid of their sins, if they get rid of their past deeds, and they turn to God. They know that only God can give them the help that they need. God calls us to be his workers in the vineyard, to be faithful workers, and not be distracted by all the worldly events and the things and all the materials that we have in this earth, but simply give it all to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Thank you. confess our faith with the words to the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Holy God, you call us to work for peace and justice in your vineyard. Refresh the church with your life, that we may bear fruit through work and service. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for the abundant harvest of the earth. Bless and care for those whose hands bring the fruits of the earth to the tables of all who hunger. Lord, in your mercy. Curb the impulses of greed and pride that lead us to take advantage of others. Grant that the world leaders seek the fruits of the kingdom for the good and welfare of all people. Lord, in your mercy. Sustain all who suffer with the promise of new life. Assured of your presence, heal our pain and suffering, and equip us to embrace all bodies aching for wholeness of mind, body, and soul. We call to mind those who are struggling today: Robbie Bolt, David Stern, Marjorie Wilhelmsen, President Trump, and First Lady Melania. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all managers in our community and for all who seek employment. Give hope and a future to those who lack meaningful work, those who have been marginalized or abused in the workplace, and those who desire new opportunities. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for the saints who teach us to live faithfully in your vineyard. May our course join theirs until our labor is complete. Lord, in your mercy. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, O Blessed, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Go in peace, serve the Lord.